exchange it someday for a crown. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. You may all be seated. We are so glad to have each one of you here this morning. Usually we print the message in the bulletin, and it got misprinted this morning. If you would, eliminate the center word in the title of the message. It's not redeeming the time, it's redeeming time. Different thought, different philosophy, different thing that we need to consider this morning. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, we have Paul's admonition, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Folks, there's no question, we are in evil days. We are in days where we are experiencing lawlessness. We do not experience truthfulness. People lie to us. The news lies to us. The government lies to us. Neighbors lie to us. And so we are in evil days. And so we want to think about this verse, verses 15 and 16. They're separated by a comma, but they do belong together. And we have a command from the Apostle Paul. And we want to look at that this morning in some detail. This command that he wrote to the Ephesian church is a command that pertains to every single believer in the world. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, that command is to you. That you walk circumspectly. That means you walk openly, not covertly, not hide, but that your life be open for the world to see. And folks, for a long time, the Christian church has sort of been hiding in the shade or hiding in a corner. They've not been open. Because if we had been, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in right now as a nation, as a society. We have failed to communicate with our society the one message that Jesus gave us. Jesus is still alive. God is still alive. I remember back in the 50s, I believe it was, that there was proposal was going around that God is dead. Well, we all know this morning he's not. We know that Jesus Christ is not dead. And the one message that the apostles had after his ascension to heaven is the fact that he's not dead either, that he rose from the grave. We need to get this message out to the whole world. And we don't have a lot of time to do it in. We need to get this message out to our nation, to the society that we live in. And again, we don't have a lot of time to do that. I hope that you will come back on Wednesday night. We are studying the book of Hosea on Wednesday night. And this coming Wednesday night is a particular challenge. When we come to chapter 6, because you're going to be looking at today's newspapers and today's TV. And folks, why should we expect anything different than what God did then, back 2,700 years ago? So we need to be aware from God's word of what we can be expecting, what we should be expecting, and we should know why we're expecting it. We're expecting it because we have failed to get the message out. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We have to be careful of how we walk. We don't go to... there was one church that Connie and I were helping and several years ago, and the young people were all excited about a Christian rock concert. There is no such thing. You can't bring rock and Christian together. They're from two opposite poles. The term rock and roll, came from New Orleans, and it was coined by the prostitutes. Can there be Christian prostitution? No. And so there are terms, there are activities in the world that as Christians we should not be attending. But in the past, people who called themselves Christians have attended, they have participated. And that is part of the reason for them, the difficulties we find ourselves in today. Is because we have not been consistent. If we walk circumspectly, it does matter what we listen to on the radio. It does matter what we say while we're walking. Just imagine, and this has happened to me a time or two, just imagine, if you get in my car and I start it up and suddenly there is rock and roll or some other kind of garbage blaring on the radio, what are you going to think about your pastor? Boy, have we got something to talk about next Sunday morning. I can't wait. I got to go home and call. There have been times when I have been so embarrassed. For I like to listen to talk radio here. There are a couple of good folks on the radio, you know. And I also like to listen to BBN here. And they have good music, good preaching. I like that. So I programmed my radio. I got two buttons I can push, and I get one or the other of those two. But when I drive from here to Greenville, South Carolina, and I start my car, I better have changed that radio station because that's not what I'm going to find there at those frequencies. And what is somebody going to think? You know, we all have to guard our testimonies. We have to. The world is looking at us. They are watching us. They want to see us make a mistake because they think that we are so perfect. We know ourselves. We know we're not perfect. We're sinners just like everybody else. But our sin's been forgiven because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have claimed that shed blood. We have gone to God and we have asked for forgiveness of our sins and to let him save us. And so we've done that. And so we are different. And the world sees us as different. And they're waiting for you and I to make a mistake so they can say, ah, see that? Did you hear what they were listening to? We have to be careful, folks. There are places we cannot go. There are things we cannot do. Nothing spiritually wrong with them except there's a phrase in the Bible that says, avoid the appearance of evil. And they appear to be evil to some of the world. So we have to be careful. So we have to be constantly aware of what's going on within our range or our sphere of influence. Yes, even the car radio is a part of it. We need to conduct ourselves so that we appear wise. I don't want to be called a fool. I don't want to act like a fool. My wife thinks I do sometimes, and maybe I do, I don't know. But none of us want to be fools. We don't want to be thought of as a fool. We want to be thought of as wise. And then the world can come to us and they say, you know, what do I do about this? How do I fix that? There are some of us in this church family that violate this command by Paul about walking circumspectly. Now, if the Holy Spirit pricks your heart when I say something, it's not me, okay? It's between you and God's Holy Spirit. Between you and God. I'm never going to fuss at any of you. I might pray for you. I might even pray about you. But I'm not going to fuss at you. It's between you and God. You and I, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're flesh and blood. We all live the same way. We were all born the same way. And we are all trying, as Tim reminded us this morning, we are all trying to get to the same place. And we want to take everybody with us we can. We want to lock our arms. We want you to go with us, and we want to go with you. We all want to go. We're all trying to get to the same place, and that place is the throne of Christ. So if the Holy Spirit convicts you about something I say this morning, it's not between you and I, okay? I'm not picking or preaching at anybody. I'm just preaching the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit has led me to say. So, if the Holy Spirit has pricked your conscience, you deal with it. Remember the passage in Romans 14 that said, Romans 14, 23, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Were you supposed to buy that shirt? Were you supposed to buy that skirt? Were you supposed to buy that pair of shoes? Were you supposed to buy this item for your meals? Do you have doubts about anything that you want to do? And if you do, what does the scripture say? He that doubteth is damned. If you do it. So if there's a doubt, don't do it. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And many of us, at some stage of life, every one of us has done something that we doubted before we began. It wasn't of faith. And we are supposed to be walking by faith. We're supposed to be living by faith. So far we've been talking about being circumspect. But there's a part of the statement and the command that is so much greater than any of us can actually comprehend or negotiate or acknowledge. And that's where we want to spend our time this morning as we look at Ephesians 5:16. 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." There are times, and every one of us have done this, I know you have, I have. There are times we do or say things that we wish we had not done or said. Now, the title of my message is Redeeming Time. We can't go back there. and undo that. But we do have to go forward. God has allotted to each one of us so much time. For some, it's a short time. For others, it's a very long time. And when God gets to the place where your allotted time has been used, you can't go buy more. You cannot go out and trade for more. You can't barter for more. Redeeming time means using the time God has given you to do the things that He wants you to do. And when that time is used up, it's over. We are all going to experience it one day if the Lord doesn't come back for His church. And really, it's not a bad thing. Because if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's simply going to be a transformation. We will have struggled through this thing we call life, but then we are going to experience real life, eternal life, life without pain, life without sorrows, life without tears, when we reach the end of our time here. Now, we sorrow to lose someone we love or a friend. But if they know Jesus, they are so much better off that we ought to be able to celebrate a little bit with them anyway, knowing that one day we'll celebrate the same event. Most of us do have lives to live. And we have plans for how we want to spend our time. That's normal. The time that you have can be spent however you want it to be spent. But there's one thing that cannot be changed. Once you've spent the time, it is spent. How do you like sitting around waiting for something to happen? Waiting to watch your grits boil. Okay, oatmeal. Okay. The time that we are waiting is wasted. The time that you ask someone to wait for you is their wasted time. We need to be redeeming time every second. We need to have our mind on the Lord. And when we are waiting for somebody, we could be praying for our congregation. We could be praying for our family. We could be praying for our national government. And that wouldn't be wasted time, would it? So how many of you really enjoy wasting time? I didn't see a single hand. Because we all know, somewhere in the back of our minds, that we have just so much time. And it's going to be over. And I don't know about you, but I want to accomplish something during the time that God gives me. And I want to accomplish something that has some eternal purpose. Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. I enjoy going out to eat. I even enjoy it more when somebody else pays the bill. But when you eat it, it's gone. And hopefully you will never enjoy it again. He'll be all right, Janice. There are things that we can do for people. And I enjoy buying a meal for someone and the fellowship. The fellowship is not a waste of time. Once you eat the meal, it's done for, and you know, you go on your way. But we need to consider and think about things that you and I can do that will be a source or a means of redeeming time, because we only have so much of it. I never dreamed that I would ever achieve 80 years old. Never did. And yet I'm right on the threshold. I am sure that Lacey never dreamed that he would make 84. And yet God has given us that much time. And so we have a responsibility to use that time for him and not for ourselves. Like I said, I don't know if you've thought about it very much, but it does need to be considered. Some of us here this morning may still have 30 or 40 years. For some of us, that's a pretty ugly thought, but a scary thought anyway. Some of us here this morning may only have a few weeks or months, or even days or hours. We don't know. God doesn't tell us that, and I'm so glad he doesn't, because we might alter. We might sit there and be afraid and waste the time that we have. And so I want to think about what the correct thing to do with the time that the Lord has given us. Paul tells us in verse 16, he says, you see, redeeming the time for each of you is going to be different than for anybody else. What you do with the time that God gives you is not what I'm going to do with the time he gives me. You are solely responsible for what you do with the time that God gives you. And if you want to waste it, that's yours to waste. But if you want to redeem that time by doing something that will affect eternity for someone, and maybe even yourself, that's the things you need to do. I'm so glad that God has put this church here. I'm so glad that he has let us come back to a healthy church than what we were 6 years ago. God is good. He's so good to every one of you. He loves you. He provides for you. He cares for you. He gives you safety. He gives you health. He wants you to be happy. What's the second thing that the Holy Spirit brings as the fruit? Love, joy. He wants you to be joyful. Even in times of sorrow, he wants you to have some joy somewhere in here. And if you don't have it, it's because you're not letting the Holy Spirit pour it out in your heart. Redeeming time for each of you is going to be different. Now, we've looked at Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. I want to look at 5, 15 and 16. I want us to look at verse 17, where Paul tells the church, therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Anybody here want to be a fool? I don't think so. Does anyone here want to know what the will of the Lord is? Yeah, most of us do. Do we know it? There's only two places you can learn. If you want to know what the will of the Lord is, God is not going to keep that a secret from you. He's going to tell you. He'll either tell you through the Holy Spirit, or he'll tell you right here. And as you read this book, it's going to speak to your heart. As you read this book, it may even bring some conviction. It may direct you to change something in your life. And when it does that, change it. Because if you fight it, you're not going to have joy. You're going to be fighting God. And that's not what God wants for you. So where do we start in an attempt to know the will of God for us, for you, for me? We start by reading the Word every day. Now, I read the Bible through at least once a year, sometimes two or three times a year. I started reading in 1 Chronicles this morning. My, that was an exciting 8 chapters. So-and-so was the son of so-and-so. I'll be honest with you, I stopped and I asked the Lord, because I always ask him, Lord, show me something in your word this morning. And I stopped at probably chapter 5 or 6. I said, Lord, why are you telling me this? Why is this here? It's here for you and I. Because a lot of these people made some pretty serious mistakes. And if we will read about their mistakes, maybe we won't make the same mistake. That's one of the reasons we read the Word. Now remember, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. With Him comes fruit, a single fruit. That fruit has 9 different manifestations, 9 different ways of recognizing it. It has 9 characteristics. Can you say them with me? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All of those things are in your heart. And what we're talking about this morning in Sunday school, we're just getting started. And Tim and I were excited when we chose this particular subject for our Sunday school for the next several months. In our heart is the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ, if you don't know Him, you don't have Him. You don't have the Holy Spirit. But He's in your heart if you know Jesus. He has all of those things as part of the fruit that He brings to you, including temperance. And you remember the statement that I made at the very last of the class? I said, you will notice that I didn't say anything while Connie was giving her information. You know why? It's not because she's riding home with me. It's a matter of exhibiting temperance. And that's what I was doing intentionally. Because, folks, there are times when there are things we should not say. They may be absolutely true, but they are not necessary. They are going to hurt somebody's feelings. They're going to offend somebody. And you might say, well, that's their problem. No, that's your problem because you're doing the offending. And so, folks, temperance is here if we'll let Him operate and help us to think about what we say before we say it, not just blurt it out and hurt someone's feelings. That's a very important part of our Christian testimony, is we want to be temperate, temperate in a lot of different things. So let's see what else we're told in these next few verses of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, it says, "And be not drunk with wine." I don't think we have that problem with anybody. "Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Folks, that's what we want to be. We want to be a Spirit-filled church. That doesn't mean we're going to go around speaking in tongues and raising the dead and healing people. It means we are going to have the Holy Spirit in our heart, and we are going to give Him liberty to lead us and to use us. And He will do exactly that if we let Him. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God." Now, what happens if you don't know the speed limit and you drive faster than what the sign on the side of the road says? You may get to talk to somebody. Is ignorance an excuse? Is our ignorance of God, what God has told us and commanded us, an excuse not to do it? No, it's not. And how are we going to know if we don't read? Even if it's a bunch of names, how are we going to know? Now, drunkenness leads to many other sins. That's one of the reasons we don't even get started on that. Most likely, the person who indulges in that kind of an activity doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. It says that we should be singing to each other in our hearts. Now, I hope you have a song in your heart. I know that the Lord gives me a song day by day. I'm going to embarrass her. I hear Gina going around the building whistling when she's cleaning up. And I'm so glad to hear that. I've heard my wife whistling. In fact, I've heard my wife singing by herself. You know, she's just walking through the building. I happen to have a monitor in my office where I can see all the different areas of the building. And so that thrills my heart to think that they have that joy from the Lord. Now, so we are to communicate through psalms and hymns. And it was beautiful this morning. I'm so glad the King is coming. I'm looking forward to it. And so many of you, God has given you talents, and you're using them for Him. And that is exactly what He wants. But there is a limit to it. Now, if we are to, you know, communicate with each other by singing, there are some things we shouldn't communicate. You know, "Oh, that's the ugliest dress I've ever seen." Now, if we're singing songs and hymns, we're going to be praising God. And we're going to be thanking God for whatever He brings into our life. And that is what Paul is talking about when he says, redeem the time. Spend it thanking, singing about, praising God. Now, it's going to be sort of hard to do that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You're not going to have the joy. Might have a little bit of happiness here and there, but no joy. And so I would encourage everyone. We've all got family. We've all got friends. We've all got people that we know who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if there is somebody here this morning, and I'm not picking out anybody, I don't know. I can't see your souls. Only God can. But if there's somebody here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about because you've not experienced it. But you can. This morning can be the very day where you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you can open your heart and you can ask God to let Jesus save you, to believe that God raised him from the dead to give you eternal life after he shed his blood to pay for your sin. That's what you can do. So we should be giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't have any kind of relationship with him if we weren't doing that. Remember that everything that you have has been given to you by God. Have you ever thought, Tim mentioned some things about emotions being a gift from God. Have you ever thought about the fact that all your brothers and sisters here are a gift from God? To all of us, they're a gift from God. He gave each person here to you for your blessing. Some bless more than others, but but every person here who knows Jesus Christ has been given is a blessing. And as a testimony of what God can do to a human life, how he can take that life and he can mold that life and make it into something that is beautiful. Because a Christian life is beautiful, especially when it's being lived for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about when he said redeeming the time. You and I need to redeem time. We don't know how much we've got. But if we spend the time that we have praising the Lord, doing what we can to love each one of you, to love the people that God puts in our life, then we will be redeeming time. It's my prayer for our ministry that we work together to reach out into the community with a ministry that God has placed us here to do. The Blessing Box is a unique way of doing that. It's not my suggestion. Some of you suggested that. Some of you put it together. Ed built it for us. He even put it up. And you folks have been filling it and keeping it filled. And that's an announcement that I have failed to make this morning, but I will share with you. We are running out of things for the Blessing Box. We need more stuff. And I think there's a list out here at the information desk. If you can get some of this, if you buy canned goods, buy flip tops so they don't have to have a can opener to open, they don't have to chew them open, okay? Flip top cans for everything. There's silverware out there, well, plasticware out there. They're putting water out there. So you folks, and think about all that you could do to be a blessing to folks who do not have what you have. That God has not blessed with what he has blessed you with. And as you're getting stuff, you think, well, let's see. We'll get them some beans. We'll get them some people don't think that Spam is real food, but it is, or treat. Those are all things, you know, Vienna sausage, the good stuff, okay? And those are all things that people can eat. Those are all things that people need. But once in a while, it doesn't hurt to put a pack of cookies out there too. They need dessert. They need dessert, even a bag of potato chips. Wouldn't that be a treat if you didn't have money to buy it? And so, folks, there are so many ways that you and I can redeem the time. And I'm so glad that some folks thought about this and took action on it and followed it through. And we just need to keep it going. So we need some help right now. We need some stuff. And so you be thinking about that. You be praying about it. You see what God wants to do with you. And you redeem the time, or redeem time that God has given you. Well, we're out of time, and so we're going to go ahead and close this morning service. But come back tonight, because we're going to have another message. It's what awaits you in eternity. What awaits you in eternity? And so come back tonight, and then Wednesday night, we'll get into Hosea 6th chapter, and we'll see how God speaks to you. But thank you for being here this morning, and we're going to have a closing hymn in just a moment, but let's close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you because you love us so good. Father, you love us in spite of who we are, what we are. And Father, you make provision for us. Help us not to reject that provision. Help us to take it and use it for the benefit of those around us. Father, we ask that if there be someone here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ, that this might be the day when they get on their knees and ask you to forgive their sin, to give them eternal life. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time together here this morning. May it prove fruitful in this week to come. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do in our lives in this coming week. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.